because of the comments made by so many folks out there that I think are really injurious to the gospel and confusing to people when they make statements about what's going on in Haiti. Now, I want to deal with something straight on. There have been those who have suggested that what's happening there in Haiti is due to the nation's embrace of voodoo. Now, one of the things we must not do is minimize the spiritual and theological consequences of embracing Satanism, the occult, witchcraft, sorcery, or voodoo. It is almost impossible to describe voodoo in anything but the most honestly horrifying theological terms. It is a darkness that is, like every other form of the occult, deeply enslaving. And you've heard some statements about this, and there is a germ of historical truth that's there, and that's what we need to deal with. When indeed, in the late 18th century, the Haitian people were struggling for their independence, and you heard a very good description of that by Joel Trimble there on the ground in Haiti just a little bit ago. When they were seeking their liberation from the French, they did associate voodoo with their revolutionary victory, the overthrow of the French. They credited somewhat to voodoo. It was then and before that revolution, and certainly from that point onward, an ensconced part, a deeply entrenched part of Haitian culture. I thought Joel Trimble did a very good job of saying it's not just that there are people who are officially devoted to it. It's kind of like an instinct in the nation, as people, when they have a crisis or something, tend to go to a witch doctor or a sorcerer or a voodoo practitioner. Well, there are those who said that what Haiti basically did was make a pact with the devil. Well, I think we have to be very careful about that. Even on biblical terms, we have to be extremely careful about that. We should not credit Satan with things that the Scripture does not credit him with. And we should not underestimate him and give him that victory, but we should certainly not overestimate him either. And an entire nation really doesn't have the capacity to give its soul to the devil. I mean, just start thinking about it. And certainly not in terms of the people living in the present. There are historical consequences, but that's just going too far. And then to draw a one-to-one connection and say that it's because of the embrace of voodoo that God brought this earthquake to punish. Well, here's what's so dangerous about that. It says too little and too much. The consequences of voodoo ultimately are eternal destruction in hell, far worse than anything that an earthquake can promise. So the one problem there is it's saying far too little. God's justice isn't finished with an earthquake, nor even with just our physical death. There is a judgment yet to come. But it's also saying way too much because we are just not given the biblical data nor the authorization to say that we know what God is doing as he is sovereignly ruling over his creation and every occurrence that happens in the world. We simply don't know. Why is it that we had the gift of stable ground today, and 2 days ago the people of Haiti had the ground taken out from under their feet? Are we a more virtuous nation than Haiti? Well, arguments can be made one way or the other. But let's put it this way. America is not made up of perfect, sinless people. It's made up of sinners, all 300, roughly million of us. We have our own patterns of sin, individually and culturally. And then, of course, it just doesn't answer the question as to why God would do this, which he hasn't told us that he's done, and why God did not take out Nazi Germany. Talk about a demonic regime. Why not Nazi Germany? Why was there not an earthquake there, a storm, a volcano, anything to bring that about? Why not a plague? That didn't happen, but it could have happened. Why were the killing fields of Cambodia not swallowed up by a tsunami? You know, the innocent die along with the guilty. And, of course, I don't mean innocent as if they're not sinners, but, you know, with the tsunami, it was the oppressed and the oppressor who died. It was the adulterer and the one who was faithful in his marriage who died. It's tough to answer some of these questions. If you're going to say you know why God does everything, then why in Hurricane Katrina did more churches get destroyed than casinos? Why is it that so many aged dictators live to a ripe old age? Just think of Fidel Castro. And so many missionaries die young. We have to be really, really careful not to be presumptuous. When Jesus one day was with his disciples and they came across a man who was blind from birth, his disciple says, "Whose sin caused this, the man or his parents?" And Jesus said, "That's the wrong question, and I'm not even going to tell you because it's not your business. You should not try to ask or answer that question." Jesus said he was born blind in order that the glory of God may be shown in him today as I heal him. There was a tower that fell in a certain city, killed people. And the disciples were warned by Jesus, don't you just go assuming that they were particularly sinful, indeed more sinful than you, just because the tower fell upon them. Boy, that's our instinct, isn't it? It really is our instinct. Something bad happens when I say, well, God's judgment is on you. Well, God's judgment is on everything. God's judgment's when we look in the mirror in the morning. It's getting older, folks. The DNA is heading us toward death. God's judgment's in that. God's judgment's when milk spoils, when it's left out of the refrigerator. God's judgment is when, a child falls through the ice and falls into the water. God's judgment in terms of all of this is when a ship goes down in the middle of the sea. God's judgment's in all these things. But God's judgment is also in the fact that you had something to eat today. That a mother is caring for her child. That indeed somewhere in a hospital there are those who are tending to the sick. That's God's judgment too. That's God's mercy and judgment conjoined. And we better be very, very careful about presumptuousness. Here's what we know. God loves the people of Haiti. We are told that on biblical authority. We have no right to think anything other than that. Jesus loves Haiti. And just because we know that God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish but have everlasting life, that's why we know that what we are talking about here is a matter in which the gospel is where we just have to go immediately in order to get our bearings, to be able to, we know what we're talking about. You know, we need to be clear, God is judging the nations. Certainly he is. And we need to be alert to what that judgment might look like and how we ought to see it and be not made arrogant by it, but humbled by it. But ultimately, the judgment upon individuals and upon nations is going to come on that great day when God renders his perfect judgment, and then no one's going to ask, where did that come from? And what does that mean? I guarantee you, we're all going to know. Every single animate and inanimate thing is going to be absolutely brought into absolute justice by the absolute righteousness of God the Holy Judge. And what does it say right now? Go help the people of Haiti. We'll be right back.